From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. The annual Dallas Video Fest will open with dance. You'll find out why soon. First, though, the city of Dallas plans to sue Volkswagen for its car emissions violations. The Dallas Morning News reports city leaders discussed the move during a closed executive session yesterday. Harris County last week sued the German automaker, saying 6,000 of its cars on local roadways contributed to the county's poor air quality. It's unknown how many affected VWs there are in Dallas. Volkswagen last month admitted installing software in its diesel cars to cheat emissions tests in the U.S. Family, friends, and state and local officials who had worked with him said goodbye to an influential Fort Worth lawyer yesterday. D. Kelly died last week at the age of 86. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports Kelly played a huge role in shaping Fort Worth.
D. Kelly may not have been a household name, but yesterday every seat in the University Christian Church at TCU was full. In attendance, one former governor, Rick Perry, and a host of civic leaders.
If D. had been born in an era when kings could have been made, D. Kelly would have been a kingmaker.
In his homily, Reverend Larry Thomas said Kelly was not as intimidating as his resume. He was driven, sure, and always busy. Thomas says Kelly always sat in the back row of the church. He'd get there early to get a seat next to the aisle. Kelly told Thomas the reason he did that.
From this vantage point, I can see what I want to see, hear what I need to hear, and I can get out of here when it's time to go. And for Dee, that was 10 minutes before worship was over.
You'd have to be as on the move as Kelly was to get as much done as he did. Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price says just before the funeral, she was on a panel discussing development projects in Fort Worth over the last few decades. Things like the zoo and the cultural district, Sundance Square, and Alliance Airport.
There wasn't a thing that we discussed that Dee didn't have a hand in. Whether it was legal counsel, whether it was his dollars, whether it was his love, he's a man of a different generation, and we were very, very blessed to have him.
Oilman William Tex Moncrief met Kelly back in the 50s. Kelly became general counsel for the Moncrief Family Oil Company before he launched the law firm that still bears his name. The 95-year-old tells this story. He says, one time, when the two of them were at lunch, Kelly found a piece of gum in his bottle of Coca-Cola.
We were eating at a little place called Bailey's Barbecue, three or four of us. And he said, I'm going to sue them. I said, D. Kelly, you know that Coca-Cola is one of your clients.
Given the scope of people and companies Kelly represented, it wouldn't be a shock if he mixed them up from time to time. His clients included American Airlines and Sabre. He sat on the board of several foundations. Moncrief says Kelly was a hard worker and an excellent lawyer who was captivated by politics. He spent formative years working for legendary House Speaker Sam Rayburn.
I don't know of anybody that made president or anything like that, but he could certainly help anybody politically. But he was just politically inclined. He loved it, loved to be around it.
Kelly's expansive network that included presidents, governors, and a host of business leaders gave him a lot of political cachet.
He had the ear of the folks who made differences and who were very focused on good government and on a strong community. And so he would help get the two together.
Tarrant County Judge Glenn Whitley says Kelly was practical in his political activities, not ideological.
He focused on the good for the community, not upon a party, and he always understood compromise.
Kelly also spent a lot of time and money supporting TCU, where he studied in the 1950s. So it was fitting that at his funeral, the words of the TCU alma mater rang through the church. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
The Texas Rangers face the Toronto Blue Jays in their first playoff game today. After trailing the Houston Astros for most of the year, the Rangers surged ahead of them in September to win the American League West. General Manager John Daniels said first-year manager Jeff Banister predicted this outcome.
And I think Banny said it in spring training, hey, we're going to be better in the second half than we were in the first half. And obviously that was played out just that way. For a first-time manager, he's got to have as much professional and life experience as anybody I'm aware of.
First pitch will be at 2:30 this afternoon in Toronto. Opening night of this year's Video Fest extends beyond the movie screen. A new live score will accompany the silent film Metropolis, along with movement from SMU's dance program. Our big screen team talks to the event's choreographer about using dance to tell the story of a city divided by class.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, and today we are joined by Christopher Dolder, who is an associate professor at SMU. Christopher, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
When you were approached to take part in this project, how do you even begin to think about what movement would look like alongside a movie?
The first key is to figure out movement that is going to enhance the movie and not distract. I went through the film over and over and really looked at the main storylines, the main thorough storylines. And for me, I started off really with architecture and demographic geometry. It's the pyramid. This is a story that's happening right now. This is the 1% and the 99%. And the king of Metropolis has no respect for what are the ostensible metaphorical hands of the workers below. And everything about the film is about the ascent and the descent.
What can you tell us about the actual physical layout and design of how the dance will be connecting to the video?
Well, what I really wanted to do is to take this 90-year-old two-dimensional black and white film and kind of bend it towards the audience, both in dimension and in kind of relative context. So the idea being is if you're, it's a full shell for the orchestra, the chamber symphony. It's a semicircle upstage. And stage left, I've made this wide kind of ramp stage, 24 feet wide at the base, and it diminishes to 8 feet wide over about, it rises about 4 feet. And the idea being is that's the essence of the upper world. It goes to a kind of a diminishing, vanishing point, and it really is the Metropolis where the, you know, Joe Frederson, the master of Metropolis, lives. Stage right is the representation of the lower world. It's chunky, it's mechanical, it's clunky, it's different sets of risers. And in both of these, I'm going to immerse these with video light.
With the live score that's happening, the dance, obviously, and the film, of course, how do you keep those elements in balance?
Sensitivity is the first step, definitely. Unfortunately, it's a bit imbalanced because the first part of the film really lends itself to some choral power and choral dancing. Second half is so much character development that I wasn't going to do 82 minutes of abstract movement to match that character development. I've only chosen 4 characters to somehow iconify. So sometimes I'm louder than the film itself because there are these long scenes where they look into each other's eyes that are highly drawn out. Well, then I'm adding more information movement-wise at that point. But when it gets busy, I start to simplify what I'm doing.
So I've seen a lot of silent films accompanied by live orchestras. I don't think I've ever seen one accompanied by dance as well. Has this happened before, to your knowledge?
I've never seen it. Bart Weiss from Dallas Video Festival, I premiered a documentary last year called Meadows at the Windspear, Rite of Spring, and Bart liked that. And then he came and saw my choreography, a piece called Handel, and he, over the summer, said, Christopher, I have an idea. We've got to do Metropolis. And my first thought was, I can't touch that. But when he said that there would be a new composition by Brian Satterwhite and it was going to be played by the Dallas Chamber Symphony, I thought, I can do this. I'm not quite sure, but I can definitely do this.
Well, Christopher, thanks so much for coming here today.
Hi, you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Christopher.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. Video Fest will show Metropolis Tuesday at City Performance Hall. Details at artandseek.org. 20% chance of rain with a high of 88 today. For the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.